Amen. Praise the Lord for the special once again tonight. What a blessing it is to come to church and be able to sing praises in the Lord and congregational singing and then hear a message from song. And it's just a blessing to see how that the different ones pray and prepare and then present that message of song that's a blessing to us every service. And so praise the Lord for it. Revelation chapter 14, Revelation chapter 14. As Sunday nights we've been going through and just studying, we started out studying one message on each book of the Bible. We gave you an outline in each book of the Bible to familiarize you with every book and understanding why it is in the Bible, what God has it there for. And so I trust that you have a better understanding. For those of you that have been here for that, you have a good understanding of what every book of the Bible is all about. And then we got into the book of Revelation. We started breaking it down and teaching the book of Revelation verse by verse, chapter by chapter. There's some things to know about the book of Revelation. And now the Bible itself takes us from eternity past, everything we need to know about the past, God has, and we can understand, God's revealed to us. So what the Bible reveals concerning history, no matter what man says, let the word of God be true and every man a liar. Amen. God created all things. That's where we came from. That was the beginning of things. And he takes us all the way through to eternity future. And the book of Revelation, as well as much of the prophecies of the Old Testament, revealed to us what's going to take place in the future. And the Old Testament, future prophecies concerning the coming of the Messiah, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The mystery of the Old Testament was the indwelling of the Holy Spirit and the local New Testament church. All of those things have come to pass. Amen. We look back now, we study that, we see, praise the Lord, God knew what he was talking about and giving us the insight into what was going to take place during this New Testament church age. Well, the very same thing holds true concerning what's going to take place after this New Testament church age. God knows what he's talking about, and he has revealed to us insight into the future, into what will take place, eternity future. And so the Bible takes us from eternity past through eternity future. The book of Revelation, most of the book of Revelation deals with eternity future. After the church age, after chapter 3, then you have the rapture and then everything at the tribulation and then the future, after the church age, the millennial reign, and then eternity. And so all that is recorded in the book of Revelation. Three thoughts that we have been given you concerning this study in the book of Revelation. God has purpose for revealing what he has revealed. From Genesis through the book of Revelation, God knew exactly what he was saying. And he means what he says. He's had it written down for us. Everyone will be judged according to the truths of the Bible. He has had his truth available in every dispensation of time, the truths that they were to live by. During this church age, we have the full revelation. There's no gaps. There's nothing that we don't have concerning what God has for us to know. And so we are going to be held more accountable than any other people that's ever lived because we have the full revelation of the Word of God. And so it's important that we understand it. And but God has a purpose for revealing what he has revealed. Now, understanding the book of Revelation, it's given to the church. I mean, the Bible is given to, it's God's love letter to mankind that's given to us, and we have the Holy Spirit of God that it's able to help us to understand it and to make applications in our lives. And so even in the book of Revelation, as we read this, he's given it to us to understand what is going to take place. After the church age, we will not be here, but he wants the church to know what will take place during the tribulation time, and then the millennial reign, and then eternity future. And so he has a purpose for revealing what he's revealed. Good men differ on some of the interpretations of the book of Revelation. There's a lot of symbols, a lot of types of things, and so some good men will differ on exactly what every type means and who it is and whatever it might be, but good men agree on the doctrine. Good men agree on exactly the doctrine of the book of Revelation, what it's revealing to us. But some of the interpretations, some good men differ on that, and that's all right. It's not going to affect our salvation, amen. It's not going to affect our ministry during this church age. It's just some future insights as far as, you know, who makes up the different world powers and who, what nations are going to be included in on the Antichrist, all the different things. But that doesn't really, that's not going to change how we live our lives today. That's not going to change salvation and the challenge and the charge that God has given to us to carry out during this church age. Okay, so good men can differ on that. It's all right. If you differ on some, you've heard something a little bit different, don't come up to me and argue with me. I'm not going to argue with it over that. I'm going to give you the scripture that and the interpretation of the scripture. Scripture interprets scripture. But as far as the things that cannot be fully understood, okay, that's left up to our own imaginations, if you will, with scriptural understanding, I'm not going to argue over those things. And I trust you will not either. Amen. Just grab and get a hold of what we can understand, what God has for us, and be helped by that. Okay. The last thing is, this is a practical study. I'm a very practical preacher. I like to take the Word of God and bring it to a place where we can apply it. I believe that's what it's here for us in this New Testament church age. You know, it's applying it. It's living the Word of God. And we have to understand it and be able to apply it to live it. And that's what I do. I try to break it down and make it very applicable so that we can go out and put it to use, use it. And so it's a practical study in the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 6 through 19, it's revealing the seven-year tribulation. That's basically what those chapters are doing, helping us to see what's going to take place during the seven-year tribulation. We've made our way through to chapter 14. The last lesson we taught on was chapter 14, verses 1 through 7, and God reveals the 144,000 that are going to be redeemed. They're going to be 12,000 each out of each 12 tribes of Israel. And they're going to be used to preach the gospel during the last half of the tribulation period. That's 144,000. That's not the Jehovah's Witness. These, if you study the Bible, we study that. It's 12,000 out of the 12 tribes of Israel. All of them are going to be Jews. The tribulation period is really basically for the Jews. Now, others on the earth will be affected by it as well. But it's God's. They will understand that they crucified the Messiah during that time. And many of them will turn back to the Lord during that during the tribulation period. But 144,000 will be those redeemed. And the testimony that they have during that tribulation period is very similar to the testimony that a true born-again believer ought to have in this church age. And we compared some of those things. We studied that. Okay? So now hopefully you are brought up to where we're at tonight. Amen? Everybody feel like they're understanding where we're at. And we're going into our study tonight. Chapter 14, we're going to finish out the chapter, verses 6 down to verse 20. So if you'll stand with me, we'll read this together. As I often say, amen, you really did. The Lord opened the door for us to be here tonight. The church is still here, amen. And so you took advantage of it. That's half the battle. As I preached on this morning, it's very important that we are in the church. In the church, God has a purpose and a plan for the church. And his blessings come through the church. And we preached on that this morning, and I told you there's going to be opposition. Satan's going to try to keep you from being a part of the church. He's going to oppose your attendance and your study and everything else. He does not want you a part of the church because he knows that's where the blessings and the power of God lie, is through the local New Testament church that Jesus established. Preached on that this morning, and so you were able to overcome whatever hindrances. And you made it tonight. That's half the battle. The other half the battle, plug into what we have to study in the book of Revelation. Okay, I believe God has a message for all of us here tonight that we'll be able to apply to our lives. Revelation chapter 14, verse 6. And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation, kindred, and tongue and people, saying with a loud voice, fear God, give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment is come, and worship him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of waters. And there followed another angel saying, Babylon is fallen, that great city, because she made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. And the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast and his image and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand. The same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever. And they have no rest day or night, who worship the beast and his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. And I looked, and behold, a white cloud, and upon the cloud one set like unto the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown, and in his hand a sharp sickle. And another angel came out of the temple, crying with a loud voice to him that sat on the cloud, thrust in thy sickle, and reap. For the time is come for thee to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe. And he that sat on the cloud thrust in his sickle, and on the earth, and the earth was reaped. And another angel come out of the temple which is in heaven, he also having a sharp sickle. And another angel come out from the altar which had power over fire, and cried with a loud cry to him that had the sharp sickle, saying, thrust in thy sharp sickle, and gather the clusters of the vine of the earth, for her grapes are fully ripe. And the angel thrust in his sickle into the earth, and gathered the vine of the earth, and cast it into the great winepress of the wrath of God. And the winepress was trodden without the city, and blood come out of the winepress, even unto the horse bridles, by the space of 1,600 furlongs. And let's pray. Our Father and our God, as we bow before you again, thank you, Lord, for the precious word that you have preserved for us. And thank you for your Holy Spirit that can help us to understand it and reveal truths concerning it. Thank you for all that have come out tonight, and Lord, the safety that you've given to us in this opportunity to be in church, and pray that you bless our assembly. Pray that we would sense your presence in this place, and pray that you would use me once again to bring forth the message that you have for each one here. For this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Well, again, we're in the tribulation period. We've already studied the judgments that God has brought, the seal judgments and the trumpet judgments, and we're in the last of the trumpet judgments, and then we find that he starts revealing some things to the church before he gets into the vile judgments, which is going to start in chapter 15. We'll see that in just a little bit. He starts revealing some things that will take place during the tribulation period, and I think he does that for our benefit. You see, in the book of Revelations, things are not in chronological order. There's breaks in between, and he reveals and helps us to see things as we go through the book of Revelation. As we understand that we're in the tribulation period, he wants us to, by the passage that we're reading here tonight, it's a view of the end of the tribulation. Now, we're going to get into more detail in the end of the book of the tribulation period, and in the Battle of Armageddon, which he mentions. We're going to see that later on, chapter 18, 19. We're going to see that more in detail. But here we find he just takes a break and he gives us a view over what will take place at the end of the tribulation. And what this does for the reader, it confirms who's in control. Now, we've just gone through the seal judgments and the trumpet judgments and all the different things where the Antichrist are going to set up a one world government, and there's going to be a one world currency, and there's going to be the mark of the beast. He's going to lead the people of the earth to worship the beast, and they have to have the mark in order to buy and sell. And if you don't, then you're going to be persecuted, going to possibly be placed in prison or lose your life. And there's going to be so much going on the planet during that time. And so, but for the reader who's reading this and going through this, I believe we find in chapter 14, especially what we just read, it's a view of the end of the tribulation. And we know by seeing how it's going to wind up, the end of it, God's in control of every step of it. Every step of the way, God's in control. Can I tell you, in this church age, every step of the way, God's in control. We're 2,000 years into the church age. And we look back over the last 2,000 years, God has been in control. Matter of fact, I believe the seven churches, if you break those down, and we did that somewhat, it breaks down the dispensation of the church age. We're in the dispensation of the Laodicean age. And if you read and study the church at Laodicean, it is pretty much identical to the situation that we find ourselves in this 21st century concerning the church. And so he breaks it down here, and the thing that he reveals to us here in verse 8 is Babylon will be judged. In verse 8 it says, "And there followed another angel saying, Babylon is fallen." This is God revealing that Babylon is going to fall. It's fallen. That great city, because she made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. It's the influence of the world that is leading the world to believe this way, to turn from God and to give themselves over to for spiritual fornication, if you will. Babylon will be judged. In chapter 18, it describes it in detail. Revelation chapter, we get there, it details the fall of Babylon. But we find here in giving us an overall view of that, reveals that it's going to come. Babylon will fall. Who is Babylon? Confusion is the definition of the word. And you go back to the Tower of Babel, when God confused the languages. And then you go into the Old Testament, the history of Israel, where Babylon was the one that came and God allowed to be raised up to defeat his children Israel. And God used them to judge Israel, taken into captivity. And so Babylon has always been used as a symbol of the enemy of God's people. And so here during this tribulation time, this Babylon would be the city that led the earth in spiritual fornication or idolatry, into sinning against God. Now, we've already studied that. We find that what leads the world into this kind of idolatry and spiritual fornication against God is the Antichrist. The Antichrist movement, which will be this one world government and this one world religion. There will be religion during this time, leading up to this end time. But it will not be Christianity. It will not be Christ. It'll be religion, as much religion we have today. The Antichrist is man's idea of a humanistic society which includes religion without God's word. There's a lot of people who want to be religious and they want to come across and they want to be able to do good deeds. They just don't want to be restricted to the word, to the Bible. Matter of fact, a lot of times you'll find that people will leave an independent fundamental Baptist church where they come to hear, where they only hear the word of God. And sometimes they'll get disillusioned by the world and by what other people will tell them, and they'll leave the church so that they can go find a church that's not as biblical. And by not being biblical, they won't say that. They'll say they don't have as many restrictions. We don't have to worry as much about holiness and righteousness and appearance and separation. Don't have to worry as much about going to church because they only have one service a week. And then they'll get in their mind, well, we're still religious. We still have the blessings of God. Well, no, listen to me. God blesses his word. And so we find this mentality has already begun in this church age that we're living in, this Laodicean church age. And if you will, it's very clear and stated here in the book of 1st, 2nd Timothy. You look there with me, 2nd Timothy chapter 3. This is the word of God. It's been around for this New Testament for 2,000 years. Been preaching it for 2,000 years. The true church continues to preach it. And this is a warning that God had given the church through the Pauline epistles, and this being a pastoral epistle for pastors to understand this. And he says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, he says, "This know also, that in the last days, perilous times shall come." I believe we're in the last days of the church age. "For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents." Parents have no authority to discipline their children if you go by the world standards. Children have their own rights. Children are basically good, and you should not discipline them to make them think that they're bad. I'm just telling you worldly philosophies. That's what it's talking. Disobedient to parents. If the children are not raised to honor and obey their parents, they're not looking to their parents as the authority that God has placed over them, and they have the world telling them, you don't have to obey your parents. Your parents cannot correct you. And if they try to correct you, here's a 1-800 number and you call and we'll come and rescue you and put them in jail. Amen. That's nothing new, right? Well, it says disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. Say, "Well, I don't agree with the separation standards that you preach." What do we preach that's not in the Bible? And more than that, what do we preach in concerning separations and standards that almost every true Christian church used to preach? When they look to the Bible as the authority. Unholy. What is your description of holiness? You can't deny that God is holy, and he tells us to be holy, for I am holy. What is your description of holiness? What is your description of righteousness? According to God, it's going to come a time when there's not going to be any holiness, any righteousness, without natural affection. We're living in a day and age now that people are getting away from God's plan for affection. What is natural? And Satan's using something that God intended for good, for his evil purposes, and destroying people's lives without even realizing it. Truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent fears, despisers of those that are good. Anyone that disagrees with how I want to live my life, they're going to despise that. Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Well, we got to go to the lakes on Sunday. It's our only day off. Or now, we got to go skiing, snow skiing on Sundays. We're getting in the wintertime, you know, not the lakes. Now it's at winter activities, whatever it might be. It's our only day off. Surely God understands, and lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. But here in verse 5 is what I want you to see. Having a form of godliness. That's religion. But denying the power thereof. What is the power? The authority. Bible. It's the Bible. It is the power of God. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Preserved for us in the scriptures. The plan of God is the Bible. Denying the power there from such, don't get caught up in it. Turn away. And that's what he's saying. Well, we're finding that's where we're going, and that is setting it up for what it's going to be like during the tribulation period, because the only ones that are truly fighting that today are Bible-believing Christians. Churches that understand, as I preached on this morning, we are to hold, we are the body of Christ, and we are the candlestick that holds the light of God. sole purpose of that. Bring honor and glory to Christ, the head. And reveal the truth to a lost and dying world. And the truth is the Bible. So now it's this Babylon, this Antichrist movement to come in to set up this humanistic society that was religious, but religious without the power of God, without the Word of God. Babylon has fallen. During this last half of the tribulation, during the end of the tribulation period, and that's what it's given us a view of, it's going to come, it's going to fall. God is going to judge the Antichrist. He's going to judge that kind of mentality that have turned away from the things of God. That's what we get into next. Go back there with me. Chapter 14, verse 9. And the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, "If any man worship the beast and his image and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture." The eternal judgment of those who reject the gospel and worship the beast. Look what it says in verse 9. And the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, "If any man." If. They have a choice. Just as we have a choice today how we're going to live our lives, everyone will have a choice today what you do with Jesus Christ. What you do with Jesus Christ will determine where you spend eternity. If you reject the Lord Jesus Christ as being your Savior, if you reject the gift that He has for you, you're going to die and go to a devil's hell. If you receive Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, then He gives you a gift of eternal life. And so it's what we do with the Lord Jesus Christ. During this tribulation period, there will be witnesses. There's going to be, verse 6 and 7 reveals to us, in verse 6, "And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth." We know that God is going to maintain a witness even during the tribulation period. There's going to be angels that's going to be witnessing to the people on earth. There's going to be the 144,000. Now, stop and think about that. If there's 144,000 that have dedicated themselves to evangelism, and they're on the earth during this tribulation period, during this second half of the tribulation period, when all these other things are taking place, and the Antichrist are really persecuting them, they're trying to stamp them out, and they would have if God did not have His protective hand upon them. God is the one that gives us our religious freedoms. He raised up the United States physically to be able to have a nation where we could have religious freedoms and then influence the rest of the world to a certain degree. But it's not America. It is God through America. But it's God who has given us religious freedoms that we have today. And God, as long as His hand is upon the church, and it is, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. We will be able to accomplish what God has for the church to accomplish during this church age. So there's going to be a witness. And these 144,000, can I tell you, if each one of them just during this tribulation just won two, that's going to be 288,000 saved on the earth during the tribulation period. And that's just 144,000. There's going to be the two witnesses that the cameras are going to be rolling. And they're going to see them perform miracles. And they're going to stand and preach the very same gospel that we preach today. That Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That He died on Calvary's cross to pay your sin debt. He resurrected from the grave to reveal that He is the Savior of all mankind. And if you'll just believe and put your faith and trust in Him and turn away from the Antichrist and turn away from the beast and trust Christ, you can be saved. Now, the church is not going to be here, and there's not going to be the Holy Spirit of God like He was during this church age, because He is keeping things from going too far. He's protecting the church. He's going to be taken out of the way, the Bible says. But the witness will still be there. It will be much harder for them to be saved during that time, because there's going to be greater persecution. But there will be a witness. And the Bible says, if any man worship the beast, that means you reject Christ. You reject the witness of the 144,000. You reject the witness of the two witnesses that are going to make television news stations every night. The witness of the angel that the Bible says, I don't know exactly how that's going to work, but the Bible says the angel, there's going to be an angel that's going to be revealing the gospel. So if you reject that, and you go ahead and worship the beast, and you take that, receive that mark or that chip into your forehead or that chip into your back of your hand so that you can buy and sell and be a part of the world system, then you're going to experience the very same wrath of God. That's what he says. Judgment will come. Worshipping the beast after rejecting Jesus is the unpardonable sin of the tribulation period. Once you do that, once you rejected Christ and you take the mark of the beast, unpardonable sin. You will be judged with the wicked. Their punishment on earth is revealed in verse 10. The same. These are those rejected Christ, taking the mark of the beast, worshiping the image of the beast. The same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture. Poured out without mixture. You know, today God judges sin. But can I tell you that his judgment today is mixed with mercy and compassion and grace. To where even as he is judging sin, if you repent of your sin, he is faithful and just to forgive you your sins and to cleanse you of all unrighteousness. It's mixed. Many times God judges to bring us back to him. God's judgment comes upon the lost to get them to the place where they will look up and believe God and trust Jesus as their Savior. Not going to be that way in the tribulation period. Unpardonable sin. It will not be mixed with grace, mercy, and compassion. It'll be an eternal punishment. That's what it says in verse 10 there. It says, it won't be poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation, and he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone. That's the eternal lake of fire, Gehenna, hell, in the presence of the holy angels, in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascended up forever. It's an eternal place of hell. And ever. And they have no rest day nor night, nor worship the beast, nor day nor night, who worship the beast and his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. Wow. God wants us to know that there will be a punishment. There is going to be punishment as you come to the end of the tribulation period. Revelation chapter 14 and verse 12 and 13 reveal the blessings for those who keep the faith. On the earth, it's going to be a very difficult thing. There's not going to be an America with religious freedoms to run to. You'll either bow to the image of the beast and you will worship the beast, or you will be persecuted and executed. As many have, we look back over the history of humanity. That is nothing new. Those types of atrocities have taken place in generations. You look back over the 2,000 years of the church age. Praise the Lord, since 1776, America has stood for religious freedoms. God did that for us to bring us to where we're at today in the world. But there will be a tribulation period when that will not be the case. The blessings for those who keep the faith during the tribulation period is shown in chapter 12, verse 12 and 13. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. You say, well, it's hard to keep the faith today. I believe God has this written down for us to realize, you think it's hard now, just think of those that will get saved during the tribulation period and what it's going to be like without freedom of religion, without being able to have your Bible and read it whenever you want to, without being able to assemble like we are able to assemble today as a church and hear the word preached, the truth preached. You think it's hard with all those privileges that we have during this church age? No, that's a lie from the devil. The devil wants you to think that it's hard, so you'll have an excuse not to do it. Amen. And God reveals what it's going to be like. And during that time, there's going to be some that'll lose their lives. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. The end of the tribulation, during the tribulation period, especially the end. There's going to be some that when they do receive Christ, they will lose their lives for their faith. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works do follow them. Now that's something that happens to all believers, even of this church age. When a believer dies in this church age, can I tell you, he enters into rest? His work's over. The work's over. His opportunities are over to bring honor and glory to Christ. His opportunities are over to earn the rewards that God wants him to earn, those eternal rewards. But he enters into rest. And then we find it says, and the works do follow them, meaning that God will acknowledge what they were able to accomplish and their faith. And their works do follow them. The works did not get them to heaven, amen. But there's blessings because of your works in heaven, called crowns. Praise the Lord for that. All believers experience a rest, and then we have much more to look forward to. We have the blessings of a glorified body still to come. We have the blessings of the crown still to come. We have the blessings of much, much more eternity and glory. Yeah, praise the Lord for that. God said, I want you to know that. When we're reading about what's going to take place in the end days, what's going to take place during the tribulation, he says, I want you who are living in the church age now, I want you to understand this is what's going to take place. I think it's a help and encouragement to know that. And then lastly, as we close here tonight, verses 14 to verse 20 is the vision of Armageddon. Now, chapter 16, we're going to deal with it in more detail. Matter of fact, look at chapter 16 and verse 16. It talks about Armageddon. He says, and he gathered them together into a place called in the Hebrew tongue, Armageddon. Armageddon, the meaning of that is Mount of Slaughter. This is where all the earth will experience God's wrath. It's the end of the tribulation period. He gives us a glimpse of the end of the tribulation period in verses 14 down to verse 20. The reaping, the separation from the wheat and the tares. Only God was able to separate. The tares are going to be cut down. They're going to be judged. Matthew chapter 25, and bear with me just a few more minutes here. We want to study this, we want to get this in. Chapter 25 and verse 31. They're all going to be gathered, and the battle of Armageddon is when the Lord returns. And when the Lord returns with his bride, the church, the lost, the ungodly, will be judged. And it says here, Jesus taught about this. Matthew 25, verse 31. When the Son of Man shall come in His glory. He's in His glory when He returns. He's a almighty, omnipotent God, King of kings and Lord of lords. To view Him as He reveals Himself to us when He returns is something else. He's not the sacrificial lamb when He comes back the second time. When the Son of Man shall come in His glory and all the holy angels with Him, then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory. That's the millennial reign. We'll get into it a little bit later. And before Him shall be gathered all nations, and He shall separate them one from the other, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. There's going to be many on the earth at this time that will be saved, that have gone through hard times, tribulation period, but have received Christ because of the witnesses that are here during that time. And He shall set the sheep on His right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the King say unto them on His right hand, Come, ye blessed of My Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Now, this is not heaven, this is the kingdom age. The kingdom age, a 1,000-year millennial reign of Christ, those that are alive, they get saved during that time. When the battle of Armageddon, all the unsaved will be judged and destroyed. And those that are saved, that are left on the earth, will be those who will be here in the beginning of the kingdom age. Amen. Then shall the King say unto them on His right hand, Come, ye blessed of My Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. God had it planned. This 1,000-year millennial reign of Christ has been planned from the very beginning. For I was a hungered and you gave Me meat. I was thirsty and you gave Me drink. I was a stranger and you took Me in, naked and you clothed Me. I was sick and you visited Me. I was in prison and you came unto Me. This is the Christian. This is how the Christian is to live their life for Christ. Then shall the righteous answer Him and say, Lord, when saw we Thee a hungered and fed Thee, or thirsty and gave Thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took Thee in, or naked and clothed Thee? Or when saw we Thee sick or in prison and came unto Thee? And the King shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these My brethren, ye have done it unto Me. Then shall He say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from Me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was a hungered, and you gave Me no meat. I was thirsty, and you gave Me no drink. I was a stranger, and you took Me not in. Naked, and you clothed Me not. Sick, and you in prison, and you visited Me not. Then shall they also answer Him, saying, Lord, when saw we Thee a hungered, or thirst, or stranger, or naked, and sick, and prisoner, and did not minister unto Thee? Then shall He answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, as much as ye did it not to the one of the least of these, you did it not to Me. All these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. All the unsaved will be removed at the battle of Armageddon. And after that, for the next 1,000 years, righteousness will rule and reign. All the families of the earth. Now think about that. All the families of the earth will be ruled and reigned in righteousness. Every husband will be exactly what God wants him to be. Every wife will be exactly what God wants her to be. Every child will be raised according to the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Jesus Himself will sit on the throne for that 1,000-year millennial reign. Can you imagine what this earth is going to be like? 1,000 years. And there'll be one final test. And then this earth will be destroyed. And it'll usher in eternity. He gives us that view. The book of Revelations in chapter 14, verse 6 to 20. Now, again, it's just, as I said earlier, it's just a view of the end of the tribulation period confirming who's in control. It's for our learning and understanding. As we know how it's going to end, it'll help us to be a little bit more committed to what God has for us today. Leading to, up to the rapture of the church. It's not going to be easy. But it's going to be far easier today than it will be during that tribulation period. The information that God has for us concerning eternity future will help us to live today as God wants us to live for Him. If I could have every head bowed and every eye closed. Book of Revelation, powerful book. It reveals things concerning the future. Things that God wants us to know to help us today to know that God's in control. He has a purpose and He has a plan. What's going on in your life tonight? Do you really have faith to believe God? Are you living your life as God would have you to live it? Are you really seeking after His blessings? Are you just seeking after religious blessings? His blessings are so much greater than just simply the blessings of religion. Let God speak to you. If there's a decision that needs to be made, maybe tonight God revealed to you that you're not assured of your own salvation. Oh, you've had the opportunity to be saved. Don't reject Christ. Trust Him even tonight if you don't know for sure that you haven't already. Have you identified with Him in believer's baptism? Are you serving Him through the local New Testament church that He has planted you in? Whatever it might be, if God spoke to you tonight, you have need to come. We invite you to come. Father, we love You. Thank You for the word of truth that You've given to us, especially in the book of Revelation, giving us an understanding of what will take place. And it does help us to know that, yes, we see how that's going to happen, and yet that helps us to know that You're in control even today. I pray that You'd bless now in this invitation. Direct each and every one. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.